Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord God, we wish to thank you for again granting us the opportunity to gather together to worship you, to hear your word. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, open our mouths to speak your words, our ears to hear, and to remember your words. Keep our minds from wandering from your word to the concerns of this life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text, the story of Mary and Martha, is probably familiar to many of you. And I have an idea that at one time or another, it's been acted out in our homes in one way or another. And sort of, you can kind of picture this for yourself. There's an old family friend, you haven't seen him for years, coming. He's probably a person who's done a lot of traveling. But you know from previous times you've seen him and visited with this person that he has all kinds of interesting stories and tales to tell. And so he's coming to your house for dinner. And you've invited a few of the other relatives to join you. And so you're making this nice dinner. Out there in the kitchen, you have a couple of the children with you, helping you to get the dinner ready. And then the doorbell rings. The fellow comes in. He's early, a couple hours early. Some of the neighbors and other relatives have come too. And so they go in the living room and they sit down and they start visiting. Now you know what's going to happen. It's not very long. One of the children who is helping you gets over to the kitchen door, starts listening, and you finally decide to go over, tap him on the shoulder, get back to work. And so he does. But you turn around, and he's there again. But this time, he's not only there, but he's disappeared. He went and sat down with the group in the living room. And so now you go to the door, and you kind of get his attention, and he nods. And so you think, okay, he's coming. But he never shows up. So you go back again. And again, you get his attention. And this time you kind of wave, a little more desperate. And nothing happens. So then you go and you talk to your spouse about getting the children back to work. That's sort of what's happened here in our text. And you can kind of picture Martha doing the same thing, beckoning at Mary, probably getting more and more frustrated as time goes on. Now, did Mary think that dinner was not important? That it wasn't important to feed Jesus and his disciples? I doubt that that's the case. Instead, it seems that Mary was more concerned about listening to Jesus and his word. That was the important thing at the moment. She wanted to hear Jesus. And so Mary looked on Jesus not as the guest in her home, but she looked at Jesus as the host. He's the one that is preparing the good news for those that are there by teaching them the word of God, showing them that he was the Lord and the Savior. Martha, on the other hand, she looked at Jesus as the guest. And since Martha considered herself the host and Jesus the guest, she wanted to have everything in good order, everything proper, table set perfectly, napkins all out right, and everything else prepared very well. She wanted to be that special, good host. Now, was she not concerned about Jesus' word? No, she probably loved Jesus just as much as Mary did. But she just had her priorities mixed up at this time. Martha looked at Jesus as the guest. And so, finally, though, she goes to Jesus with this problem, telling Jesus that she's got all the work and Mary is leaving her sit there. That's a small family problem, we might say. But Martha did the right thing. She took it to Jesus. We too, when we have these small family problems, need to, so to speak, take them to Jesus in prayer as well. Otherwise, they sort of mushroom out of shape. And slowly but surely, that small problem mushrooms into something that's big and great. We think here of, let's say, you're making dinner, and you have a small child or grandchild in the house. And so in order to keep that small child from crawling around on the floor under your feet as you're rushing around in the kitchen, you take the child and you put him in a high chair. Seems pretty good. Then to entertain him, you give him a spoon. And the child plays with the spoon a little while and finally figures out that if he pounds it on the tray, it makes noise. And the first time he does that, not only does it make noise, but everyone in the room smiles and giggles and kind of thinks it's cute. But you ever notice? Children don't know when the game's over. And so it just keeps pounding. And finally, that becomes a very big irritant. And that's sort of what it is with our problems. They have that mushrooming effect. And so we need to come to Jesus. He says, cast our cares upon him. He cares for us. But we so often refuse to do that. We sort of have the idea, I'd rather do it myself. And then we sort of say, well, if I pray to Jesus, is that going to fill the gas tank up with gas on my car? The answer is probably no. But if you pray to Jesus, it'll probably keep you from making a big to-do about the fact that your spouse or one of your children parked it with an empty gas tank. And now before you can go anyplace, you have to first get gas. That irritates you. If you take it to Jesus, you probably can deal with it in a calm and good manner rather than an angry manner, which so often is the case with us. And so Martha comes to Jesus. And Martha has this all planned out. Jesus is going to hear her say that she needs help, and he's going to turn to Mary and tell Mary, it's time to get back in the kitchen. But that's not what happens, is it? It's not what happens. He says, Martha, Martha, very lovingly, you're worried about all these things in the world, all these things in life. They're important, yes, we need to eat eventually, but all those things can wait. Other things are more important. Mary has chosen that. She has chosen to hear the word of God. She has chosen to worship God. And he is commending Mary for doing that. His word is first. The word of God, the love of God should be the first thing in our life. And so dinner can wait. Fishing can wait. All those other activities and sporting activities, they can all wait. We need to gather together to hear God's word with our friends and neighbors and worship our Lord and Savior. That comes first, the worship of the Lord. These other things can come later. Martha was also rebuked because she was hindering the worship of Mary. She was keeping Mary from concentrating on the word of God. And other things were filling Mary's mind, and so she was hindering Mary's worship. And we need to be careful that we don't do that also. I can think several times as a child, we come home from church, and my mother would sort of say to my dad, what was the sermon about today? And dad would kind of look at her. He said, well, you know, you were there sitting next to me the whole service. And then she admitted, you know, I couldn't remember if I turned the oven on. You know, she was worried about having dinner ready when we got home. Did I turn the oven on? Or did I turn it down? Did I set the timer right? And I know that's happened in probably every one of your homes at some time or another. The same thing. And when those things interfere with our worship, it's the same thing as what Martha was doing. She was distracting Mary from worshiping God. And we need to be careful that we don't put obstacles in the way of others to worship God also by sort of having all this agenda going on the rest of the day that they're concerned about, how am I going to get all those things done that we have planned for the rest of the day? And so we worry about that rather than studying the Word of God and worshiping God through our songs and through the hymns that we sing, praising God. Mary was praised for putting first things first. She chose the one thing that was needful, the life-giving words of Jesus. And look at the timing of this. She learned about the resurrection and the life from Jesus that day. Within 6 weeks, Lazarus dies. This is probably the last time that Jesus was in the home or visited with Mary and Martha before that time. Now, 6 weeks later, when Lazarus is dead, what comfort does Martha have in knowing that she gave Jesus a good meal? Look at the comfort Mary has in hearing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that those who believe in him, even though they die, they shall live with the Lord forever. That gives her comfort and the assurance that Jesus is that true Lord and Savior. And so we need to also have that same urgency. We don't know what tomorrow, next week, or 2 months from now will bring, but we do know that we need our Savior, and we need his love and his forgiveness each day. And so we need to look at him always as our host. He's our host today, this morning, again. He offers us his special supper this morning, his body and his blood, so that we can go home with the confident assurance that he has forgiven us our sins and that we shall live with our Lord in heaven. And so let us worship the Lord with praise and with thanksgiving as our host and as our Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Continue our service with our offerings to the Lord.